You are listening to Life Science Connect Radio. Broadcasting live from New York and direct from the show floor of Interphex. Advancing the processing of life-enhancing drugs. Life Science Connect and Interphex, together in the Big Apple. And now, here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Todd Youngblood.
Good morning. This is Todd and Todd, live in New York, Life Science Connect Radio, on location, direct from Interphex, Day 3. Todd, we have another exciting guest up next, but we're off and running on a great Day 3 so far.
I can see it, and I'm still fired up. I got lots of energy. I got coffee this morning, so the brain is ready to just soak in everything.
We didn't get any coffee yesterday. That's why we were so struggling getting out of the gate.
It was very unnatural.
All right. Well, next up is Tim Crom. He's a general manager with Romalog. Tim, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, it's good to have you. Thanks for stopping by and joining us. Before we get into our conversation, much to talk about, take a quick sec. Tell us a little bit about you and your background.
I guess I'm working for Romalog in the pharmaceutical industry for about 11 years now. Prior to that, I was my background is electrical engineering, so I come from a machine basis and programming and process control.
All right. Well, Romalog, give us the 10,000-foot view. What do you do? How do you serve your market?
Romalog is the, I guess, the inventor of the blow-fill seal process. We're 50 years old this year. We have around 1,700 people that work in and around the technology through machine manufacture and contract manufacturing. And what we try to do is promote the technology and bring it out and get it used within the pharmaceutical industry.
Tim, I got to tell you, the whole blow-fill seal thing, I'm still trying to get my brain wrapped around that thing. I still want to know, where do you put the bottles in the front end of the machine? And I know that's not how it works, but just
Correct. Talk
us through the whole process of just how that does work.
Okay, the blow-fill seal process, we're taking a raw plastic material and extruding it, forming a container, filling it, and then sealing it all within a controlled environment. So the whole process is around 12 to 15 seconds. So no feeding containers in the front end or the back end. You just get filled containers out the front end.
All right, Todd, so beginning to understand the process itself. Tim, I wonder if you could share with us some of the more common applications of blow-fill seal.
Sure. You know, worldwide, we use blow-fill seal for IV solutions. That's a big use. So if you go to Germany or go to a hospital, you'll get an IV bottle, not an IV bag. So basic solutions that are contained in there. We also do a lot of small volume parenterals, such as diluents and local anesthetics. So these are small containers, typically less than 20 milliliters. For those type of basic water products used in primarily in hospitals. In the U.S., we're using this primarily for inhalation drugs and ophthalmics. The nebulized drug product is prevalent, and about 2 billion containers there.
Two billion with a B?
Billion.
2 billion with a B.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about the reaction you're getting from manufacturers to the whole process, and what are the ones that don't get it yet? What are they missing?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, within outside of the U.S. we're very well known, and even within companies we're very well known. But, you know, within the U.S. we sometimes have to work a little bit to find the right people to get it introduced. There's a little bit of a conservative look at what's considered newer technologies, and so you might have a big pharma that actually has two or three facilities outside of the U.S. that uses our technology, but then, you know, convincing them to move it back to the U.S. is sometimes difficult.
Now talk about, you're exhibiting here at Interphex, obviously. Talk about, are you showcasing anything in particular here? What are your goals and objectives here at the show?
We're kind of moving into a biotechnology type products.
Tell us more about that. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, one of the things about blow-fill seal is when you want to use it, you need to be able to test it and bring your, you know, do stability studies, do clinical studies. And one of the problems we had in the past was that these type of products require a very special facility, and nobody had that facility. So, you know, to consider blow-fill seal, you couldn't even use it because you didn't have the particular facility you needed. So we went ahead and built that facility in Switzerland, and so now we have that capability to do this test work. And what that allowed us to do, particularly for biotech, we've been looking at vaccines initially. So we've so far done two vaccines, and both of them have come out very well. So we're looking to promote that into other biotechnology realms.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Tim, I'm going to take you backward a little bit, because something you said a couple of minutes ago is just sticking in my head. If you've got a company with facilities in Europe, that's using blow-fill seal, but not back in the U.S. I mean, I'm just thinking about it. It's got to eliminate steps in the manufacturing process, which has got to save some time, which has got to save some money. I'm scratching my head. Is it just lack of knowledge, or what the heck is slowing it down, the adoption of the technology?
I think in general, you know, there's a like taking a glass vial, there's a very, very big comfort level with that. You know, there are particular issues to different technologies, and those associated with glass are known. And with blow-fill seal, you know, you have to be compatible with the plastic material. In to a certain extent, I think that being a little conservative and not wanting to change from the standard of, you know, kind of the devil you know to, you know, if you change into a new technology, you may find something you didn't know about. And you know, that...
What do you think the long-term play is? I mean, do you think when we sit together and talk to you at Interfex 2016, 2017, that'll be the standard?
I think so, because, you know, within other markets, not just the U.S., we're moving into South America, to Africa, so we're seeing adoption over other technologies in those places. And because of that, you know, sooner or later, it's just going to get to a head that somebody's going to take the leap and move forward. And
market that, leader.
Yeah, and, you know, within, like I mentioned, the unit dose ophthalmics and the inhalation drugs, you know, there we are the standard. So there, we're the opposite direction. Other technologies, you can't get into those areas because we do it too well, you know, and so I could see it from the other side, too.
Well, I think it's pretty clear. It's a matter of time.
Yeah.
Until the technology is adapted. Let's talk about the technology itself. What's going to get added to it? What kind of direction is it taking? Open up new applications, new industries maybe?
Sure. The trending, you know, our biggest customers out there are larger volume printer rolls, IV-type products. And those customers are, you know, these are large bottles, and they want to make them more efficiently. So what they want to do, they've been pushing us to get bigger and faster and more efficient. So, you know, just in the last probably 10 years, we've doubled our capacity, our capabilities for our systems. And that really allows them to be more cost-effective and promote their products easier.
All right, let's set Romalag aside for a second. I want to hear what Tim Crom is thinking. As you roam these hallowed halls here at Interfex, and you're a keen observer of the industry, no doubt, what will be the key takeaways from you from this event?
Well, a little bit I've been stuck on my booth, but...
what are people asking you about?
We're glad, by the way, to let
I
get you out for
the,
a while.
From my standpoint, the prefilled syringe market is really... jumping out there, you know, a lot of interest in it, and while we aren't really there, we make an analogous product, and so they're people that are taking their products to developing world or something like that, they need a more cost-effective solution than what a rather expensive glass syringe will give them, and so we're looking at, you know, we're kind of delving in that little area, so we get regular visits, and, you know, it's kind of the hot button item right now.
Yeah. It sounds like you always got a keen eye on the innovation, though, huh?
Yeah, we try to innovate. That's the way we open markets. You know, we've got our bread and butter. We've got our regular customers that will continue to use us, and you know, they support us very well. But really, the growth is in new products and new regions and new applications.
All right. Well, good luck with that. All right. Well, Tim, I hate to say it, but we're running low on time. Before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you, and where can they learn more about Romalag?
You can go to our website at romalag.com. That's the easiest place. And then, personally, our office phone number is 303-674-8333.
That's it? All right. Tim Crom, the general manager with Romalag. Tim, it was great to have you. Thanks for stopping by and joining us.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, that wraps this broadcast. On behalf of our guest, Tim Crom, my co-host, Todd Youngblood, I'm Todd Schnick, Life Science Connect Radio's live coverage from Interfex. We'll be right back.